We have three short readings this morning. First one's from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This one's from Luke's Gospel. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And again in Luke's Gospel, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate.
Thanks, Heather, and thank you, Dave, for your prayers. You've got an elders' fest this morning, three elders doing the service and playing in the worship team as well. I'll just pray before I begin. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are willing to speak to us and that you want us to hear you. I pray that you would take anything I say that is not of you and just make it disappear so that we can receive your word from my mouth this morning. Thank you, Father. Amen. Those three readings that we had were readings from this week, from the Lent course this week. So I'm guessing that a lot of you will have recognised them. And before I start on the main thing today, I always think it's really interesting to know the background behind some of the things that we read in Scripture. I'm fascinated by it because when the Scripture was written, the people who were hearing it, they would have brought that understanding to the word. And I looked up a few bits and pieces, especially the piece about the prodigal son. The relationship between the father and the younger son was very different between the relationship between the father and the older son in that story. The father and the younger son understood their purpose in the family. They knew their place in the family. They knew what was going on. They knew what they should do. Didn't always do it, but they knew what it was. But the older son didn't understand who he was. So we have to bring that when we listen to the story. The father put a long robe on the younger son, and apparently this is a robe of distinction exactly like the father's. So when he put that robe on the younger son, he was acknowledging that younger son's position in the family as being distinctive and important like his own. The signet ring was a symbol of family authority, so he was giving the younger son family authority. The sandals that he put on his feet were a sign that the boy was not a slave. He was a son, an inheritor of his father. And the fattened calf was always brought out for a special occasion. So I think it's always interesting to understand these things when we read from the scriptures. And the Deuteronomy reading is reminding us that we have to take God's word seriously. It's important. It has to be every part of our lives. It has to be on our forehead to affect our thinking. It has to be round our arm to affect our doing. It has to be on the doorpost of our house to affect our going in and our coming out and our living in our family. And as has already been said today, the title of the talk and the focus for the whole of this week in Lent has been On Purpose in Family. On Purpose in Family. Got me thinking about what a family is. And how relationships change as people grow up and do different things in the family. When I was a child, that's who I was in the family. My mum and dad were the bosses, and I had to do as I was told. I can remember, I've said this to several people, I can remember when I was teaching, I had a group of 5 and 6 year olds, and we were talking about what it was like in Grandma's day. Well, I was the age of their grandma, so, you know, I was telling them about my dad and me when I was a child. We had an apple tree in the garden, and I said, my dad used to put me up in the apple tree to reach the apples that he couldn't reach with the hook when it was harvest time. And this little six-year-old child said to me, well, that was a bit stupid, wasn't it, miss? And I said, why? He said, well, what would have happened if you'd fallen out of the tree? I said, I probably would have broke my arm or my leg or something, you know. Might have knocked some sense into me if I'd fallen on my head. He said, well, that's very irresponsible of your father, he said. This is six-year-old. He said, how did he make sure that you didn't fall out of the tree? I said, he said, don't fall out of the tree. So I did as I was told. I have to say, as I grew up, there were many occasions when I didn't do as I was told, and it got me in a lot of trouble. My parents had a relationship where I never ever heard them have an argument. I know they did argue because Mum told me about it when I grew up myself, but they never did it in front of me. They created this environment of peace and tranquility, that they loved one another and they loved me and they wanted me to grow up to be the person they wanted me to be. That was a problem. I wanted to be the person I wanted to be. My dad had it all mapped out in his head. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work like that. I don't know if that fits with any of you. I had different thoughts to my dad. Bless him. In many areas, he was right and I was wrong. And as I grew up, my relationship changed with them. I got married. I moved away from home. I had children, and I had this naive expectation that you just floated along. And when you got married, and that was it, that was okay. That relationship, because you got married, that was fine. And that your children arrived, and everything was, you know, great. What I didn't understand was that you had to work hard to make a relationship work, and you both had to work hard. Didn't work when just one person sat up and realized. And that children don't do as they're told. And they're not the people you want them to be. They're their own people. That's strange, isn't it? Because I thought that myself, but I was projecting onto my children something that wasn't real. I've since then learnt. I can remember another time, my son's daughter is now 20. When she was 3, I went to lunch with them. I knocked on the door. My son was cooking lunch at the other end of the passage in the kitchen, and I heard him saying, Tilly, will you get out of this kitchen? It's very dangerous. I'm going to open the oven door. I've told you 4 times already. And then he stomped down the passage and opened the door, and he said, Mum, she doesn't do a thing I tell her. And I went, And he said, but I wasn't ever like that. So relationships change, don't they? And with my mum towards the end of her life, I became the mum and she became the child. So a family relationships are not set, are they? They change and develop. So what is a family? Mum and dad and 2.4 children? I don't think so. A family, I think, is a group of people who are in some way related to one another, in some way. It might be a close relationship, it might be a blood relationship, it might be an emotional relationship, it might be a generational relationship, they might not all live in the same house. My name is Anison, that was my husband's name, but my real surname is Ramsey. But my mum was Leadbitter, and I'm related to the priests up in Durham and to the Ridgewells in Essex, because going back through the generations, the names change, but the family builds. So we're related to people who are here with us now, and people who live somewhere else, and people who have gone down through the generations, who have gone to be with the Lord or gone some other place. It's all our family, isn't it? Our natural family. I was thumbing through iPlayer yesterday, looking for something to look at that was interesting. There was nothing on the ordinary telly. So, and they were showing film things that were on. And there's this cartoon film called Coco. And it said underneath it, family is forever in this world and the next. So I think I might watch that film this evening to see what it says. Family is forever in this world and the next. So what does a church family look like? We'll have a look around. Because it looks like this. Oh dear. This is what it looks like. And it looks like this, and all the people that are linked to these people here, and the ones who are not here today because they're not well, or because they've gone to see their family, or because they've overslept, or because they've decided they can't cope with us this morning, or, you know. We are a church family. This is us. They say that we can choose our friends, but not our family. And sadly, in natural families, some people choose not to choose their family because it is too painful. And they leave. And unfortunately, that happens in the church as well. That's really sad. That is really sad when someone goes because they've been hurt by someone within their church family. That's not good. So who are we in the family of Christ, and what is our purpose? What is our purpose in this family as a whole? Let me read you Deuteronomy 6:6-9 again. These commandments I give you today. What commandments? The Ten Commandments. They're referring to the Ten Commandments, all the do's and the don'ts. And when you're teaching primary children about the Ten Commandments, one of the things that we do is we get the children to divide them into two groups. One group is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the other group is, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two commandments, and the Ten Commandments fit into those. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Impress them. It doesn't say tell them, it says impress them. I mean, how do you impress something on somebody? You get hold of it and you go, It feels like that sometimes, doesn't it? Have you done your homework yet? Really? Show me. Did you say thank you to Grandma? It wasn't just a grunt, was it? Well done. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. I was in the car with my granddaughter Tilly, again when she was quite small. We were driving along. I think I've said this before. And it was a day just like today. And she looked out. She was about four. She said, "Gran," she said, "isn't it a lovely day?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Isn't God clever?" I said, "Yes. He is. He's really clever. He's made all this stuff and he wants us to look after it." She said, "I'm clever." I said, "I know you are, but you're not as clever as God." She went, "Oh, no." Talk about them when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols. Tie them on your hands, it says. So that whatever you're doing it with these commandments of the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Tie them to your hands. So that whatever you do honors those commandments. Bind them to your foreheads so that your thoughts are governed by those commandments. This is our purpose as a family. Write them on the door frames of your houses so that you pass through them daily, inwards and outwards. And they guard your entrances and on your gates. So don't forget them once you're outside the house, because the garden gate is still there, or the gate into whatever else place you're going. Write them on that as well. So wherever you go, this is your purpose. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So looking at this in the context of being a family, God is our Father. He's the father of our family. He teaches, he sets rules, he shows us how to be a family. We need to love him back and be willing to forgive and receive forgiveness from him and from each other. Because if we don't, Satan will break the family up. He will. He doesn't like families. He doesn't like people being together. He wants to break them up. And he can do it really easily because we are fallen people. So our purpose as a family is to love each other as God loves us. I'm speaking to myself as well as to everybody else. Everything I say, I'm actually telling myself. I was talking to someone this morning. I'm not going to say who it was because they might not like it. But they were telling me this morning that they were helping someone else out during the week. And they gave this person some really good advice. And the Lord went, "Did you hear that? That applies to you." They were blessing somebody, actually. They were telling somebody how blessed and how loved they were. And the Lord tapped them on the shoulder and went, "Can you hear yourself? What you've just said is right, but it applies to you as well." So everything that I say applies to me too. We must be really careful because we know that Satan doesn't want this family to flourish. We know that. We know that. He ain't got anything else to do except hurt the church. God's taken just about everything else away from him, so he can spend all his time trying to break up the church. He's very focused. But we have more power than he does because we have the Holy Spirit. We have God. So we must be very careful with what comes out of our mouth towards one another. And to say one thing and look as though you mean something else is not the way to do it. Our body language is important. Our track record is important. If we say something nasty over there and nasty over there and nasty over there and nasty over there, and then we go up to somebody and smile at them, they're going to think, have I got my hat on, my tin hat? Because what's coming now? But if we purposely make the effort to love one another in what we say, in the way we approach people, in our facial expression, in what we do, then people will go, oh yeah, I'd love to talk to that person. I'd love to be, I'm associated with that person, with those people. They are part of my church family. Because then people will say, if you're in that family, you must be like them. So to put people down within the church is not a good idea, because then we're saying that, you know, why would anybody want to be here? Because I'm like them, I'm in their family, so if they're rotten, I must be rotten. You know, it sort of has a ripple effect, doesn't it? That we behave in a way that shows that we love one another, even when it's difficult, even when someone else isn't doing that, when someone else maybe is having a bad day and doesn't behave lovingly to us, we must love them twice as much back. I garage my car in a block of garages. My house is at the top of a very steep incline and the garage is down the bottom. And there's parking. Some of you might have seen me with a crutch. I've got arthritis. So when I go down the hill, I take the crutch. And when I get to the bottom this morning, there were loads of cars parked, vans and lorries parked, so that I had to go past it and into the road to get round and into my garage. And there was a lady parked right there with her engine running. I know her, and she's only there for a couple of minutes. She said to pick someone up. She said to me, I'm so sorry, she said, I've made you walk in the road. I said, oh, don't worry. I said, I pointed to this van. I said, he's there all the time, you know. She said, why don't you complain about him? Complain. Report him. She went, I said, because I've got to live with him, he's my neighbour. And if I complain and I report him, relationship's going to be difficult. So when I see him, I smile at him and ask him how he is. I'm doing my best to do what God has asked us to do. Our responsibility to our Father and our family name is important, because he loves us. Our family name is Christian. Christian. That's our family name. Christ's one. So we have a responsibility to our Father and to each other. That's our purpose. Everything else is extra. Our relationships with each other are to love and to show that we love. In our speech, our body language, our behaviour, our thoughts and our attitudes. And here's the warning that the Lord gave me, that he said, I have to say this. And I quite agree with him. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to get it right. If we are hurting, rejecting, criticising within our church family, we are not pleasing God. And we are damaging ourselves, our family name of Christian, our efforts to reach out with the gospel, and each other. It's really hard. I'm sorry it's ending like this. But I think the Lord will bless us if we try. If we try to be the people that he wants us to be. That's our purpose. In the power of the Holy Spirit, to love Jesus, to love each other, and to love our community. And to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. Can I ask you to hold hands with the people that you're sitting with. If you're not with someone, just move and hold someone's hand, and I'm going to come and hold someone's hand as well. And we're going to pray. I'm going to come over here. Okay. Just hold hands with somebody. Okay. Father, this is my family member that I'm holding hands with. Father, I am sorry when I have upset you by not behaving towards a family member in the way that I should. I ask for your forgiveness. And I thank you, Father, for this family where you have placed me. And I pray, Lord, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on all my family members, not just in this building now, those who are not here this morning, and our family members over in St. George's. I pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit so that we may show our love for each other and for you, and that people outside the church will want that love for themselves. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.